Fletcher Reed continually makes promises to his son, Max. Promises he never keeps. He's a high-powered attorney who devotes more time to his clients than to his son. He makes promise after promise to spend time with Max, promises to play catch with him, to come to his birthday party, and to take him to a wrestling match. But every time he makes a promise, Fletcher breaks it. Every time. And each time, Max rides an emotional roller coaster. He gets excited, but then Fletcher doesn't show. Yet Max still holds out hope. Hope that he will come, even when Max's mom has already given up. He waits 10 minutes, then 15 and 20. He waits, looking up and down the street, looking for any sign of his dad. And every time he hears the sound of a car engine, he runs to the curb, straining in hopes that it will be his dad. Eventually, Max gives up, defeated and broken. After a while, like the town people and the boy who cried wolf, Max doesn't believe a single promise that his dad makes, prompting the title of the movie, Liar, Liar. And after reading today's text from Genesis, I think Abraham, who we read as Abram, must have felt like Max at some point. God made a promise to him, a promise to make of him a great nation and bless him and make his name great so that he will be a blessing. Yet as time has passed, all things point to a broken promise. Abraham's wife, Sarah, can't have children, and no matter how hard they try, they just can't conceive. And at a time when your children not only carried your name, but were also those who cared for you in your old age, the only way Abraham can be a great nation is to have a child with Sarah. And it just wasn't happening. So when God reminds him of this promise, when God tells him, "Do not be afraid, Abram, I'm your shield, your reward shall be very great," I'm not surprised when Abraham questions God's commitment. "Oh Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. You've given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir." I can hear Abraham's protests to God. "You've given me nothing. You've promised me all of this, and yet there's nothing to indicate that you intend to follow through. What's the deal? I did exactly what you wanted me to do. I left my homeland and came here as an alien to where I know nobody. You told me you'd give me this land, and so far, none of it is mine. Plus, I have no heirs, and Sarah and I aren't getting any younger. I was 75 when you made this promise. Already an old man, and I keep getting older. Sarah's already gone through menopause. How do you expect us to have a child now?" I can understand why Abraham would be so upset. It just doesn't seem like God was honoring the promise that was made. And in this moment, God seems almost human. We are people who continually make promises. We make them to our friends, our spouse, our kids, and our parents. We make them to coworkers, to bankers when we take out a loan, and to credit card companies. Some of the promises we make are big, promises that we make as we stand in front of someone like me, a pastor, promises to love and care for the person standing next to us in sickness and in health until we die. And we promise before God and everybody else that we will raise the screaming kid who is having water poured over her head in the community of faith. It will bring her to worship, place the scriptures in her hands, and teach her what it is to be a disciple of Christ. Other promises are small, like promising to stop at the store to pick up a gallon of milk. Sometimes we even make promises without knowing what it is exactly that we're promising, as we press agree on a website, a new app, or on a tech company's terms and conditions. Of course, politicians are constantly making promises, promises we routinely hear in this election year. And some promises we make are kept, but others are broken. Which is what makes God seem almost human. From time to time, we find ourselves in a similar position to Abraham, wondering how it is that we can trust God will follow through on the promises that have been made. I suspect that that may be true for some of us right now, as we feel the weight of the divisiveness of our political system in the midst of a pandemic, while there's ongoing racial injustice, and only a few months away from an election that could very well be contested. Beyond all of that, we see the normal broken promises of life, broken marriages, broken friendships, broken trust. Some of us are lonely and feel isolated, maybe because we live alone or because we don't have any friends that we trust to help us through those rough spots in life. Some of us know folks who would make good parents and yet have trouble conceiving a child, much like Abraham and Sarah. We feel the emptiness that creates in their lives. Some of us are those potentially good parents. In all of this, we wonder, like Abraham, if God plans to follow through with the promises that have been made. How is God rescuing us in the midst of it? Where is God in all of this? We know that God has promised great things, but where are they? Yet to Abraham's protests, God has a response. Genesis says, "But the word of the Lord came to him, 'This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir.' He brought him outside and said, 'Look toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to count them.' Then he said, 'So shall your descendants be.' And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness." God takes Abraham outside and shows him the stars that litter the sky. And if you've been out in the wilderness, far away from a city and its light pollution, then you know how magnificent in the sky the stars can be. There are not only the few that we see as we see them here in the DC area, but there are so many that you literally cannot count them. Just when Abraham feels like giving up, just when he questions God's commitment to him and the promise that was made, God presents a resume that is both awe-inspiring and reminds him that if God can create all the stars, then God can do anything. And God has left that resume up in the sky to remind us of the very same thing. It may take a while, it may be longer than Abraham or any of us would like to wait, but God is faithful. God takes Abraham outside and says, "Look up, look at all I have made. Just as I have made all of this, I will give you a son. I will fill the emptiness that you feel inside." And he believed the Lord. Abraham believed. He held out hope because God reminded him. Just when things may look bleak for us, when we question God's promise, God steps in and reminds us that none of God's promises are ever broken. And knowing the end of Abraham's story, we can also say that from time to time, God will go to incredible lengths and do impossible things to fulfill what has been promised. Soon after this promise is reiterated and Abraham begins to hold out hope again, Sarah, who is way past menopause, discovers that she's pregnant with Isaac. It may be that we cannot see what God is up to, and perhaps things seem impossible. But God has a track record of doing impossible things. Not only filling the night sky with an almost infinite number of stars, but making a previously barren place fertile once again. Just when things look like they can't possibly get any worse, God is there whispering in our ears to hold out a little while longer. there's more to come. Even though people make promises and then sometimes break them, God will not. This is something we see especially in Jesus, who enters into the barrenness of death and creates fertile ground out of which new life is born. God is not like Fletcher Reed. God does not make promises and then break them. God makes promises and keeps them. Even when things look impossible, God is working to make the impossible possible. And just when we forget, just when we think that God has fallen down on the job, God is right there to remind us.